Greetings, everybody. I am William DeHewitt, and I am broadcasting live from the unfree state somewhere in the old Boer Republic. It's great to be back on Revision Media and on DeHewitt House Radio. I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. I hope you also enjoyed last week's broadcast. It was a little different show than I have been doing. Talked about energy and the various forms of it and the vampirism that our Jewish overlords and masters and even their masters have been, well, like I said, vampirizing our energy from us, enslaving us. I think tonight I'm going to be going back to no separation, no peace. Yes, I will occasionally be doing other shows, such as White Magic Spell last week. I have done a lot more homework when it comes to energy and the findings. I mean, I just keep digging deeper and deeper and finding more information that, honestly, folks, just surprises the hell out of me. There's times where I think I cannot be surprised anymore, and then, thankfully, I stumble across bits and pieces of information that get me back on the hunt again, you know? They get me back going, digging even deeper than I was. Different phases of enlightenment, I guess you could also call it. Yeah, I'm sure many of you have been there with me where you think you have just about seen and heard it all, but, you know, and some time goes by, nothing new comes across your desk, and you start to get bored, start wondering what you're going to do your shows on next. Well, thankfully, folks, I never seem to get stuck. I always find that spark or that new topic that gets me interested again. And that's why I'm actually going back to No Separation, No Peace, because, well, I had quite a few people, including Richard, tell me that they really enjoy the shows I do when I talk about South Africa. And yeah, I can understand why you guys would enjoy those shows. It's not really common for an American to have the perspective that I have, who lives in South Africa. Yeah, there's plenty of Americans in South Africa, but do they think like William DeHewitt? Do they think like you and I, folks? No, they don't. Most of the Americans in this country, they work for the Jewish-controlled ANC. You know, sure, blacks appear as if they're, you know, in control of it, but really, it's a Jewish organization, and it's been a Jewish organization from the start. Yeah, the Yiddish-British Jews of the United Kingdom founded the ANC, wrote the apartheid laws, brought it to South Africa, and then blamed it on white people, blamed it on Boers, blamed it on Aryans. And as a result, we've been genocided ever since. Yep, we're always blamed for the atrocities that the Negroids, face here in this country, even though they've been in charge for the past 25 years. Yeah, there is a femicide happening in South Africa, don't you know? Yes, folks, a femicide. You cannot turn on the Afrikaner-controlled YouTube, you know, the electronic Bolshevik in every room of your home. and on the terrestrial radio. All we've been hearing is about this femicide. No, 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 folks. It's not white genocide. It's not a Boer genocide. It's not even an Aryan genocide. It is a femicide, all right? Because too many females and too many children are being slaughtered in South Africa. Okay? Now, if you look at the faces and hear the voices of this so-called femicide taking place, well, they're not white. No, folks, it's Negress after Negress, Jewess after Jewess, whining and crying. Oy, Gewalt, oy, vey, we're being genocided. There's no white genocide going on there, folks. Those crazy Boers and their farm murders. Jeez. How dare they, the chutzpah of these Boers. Who do they think they are? It doesn't matter 100 years ago that hundreds of thousands of Boer women and children were fed glass in concentration camps. Oy vey. No, we should worry about a femicide with Negresses and Jewesses leading the way. I'm not kidding, folks. Look, I don't watch, well, I guess I have been lately watching TV more than I normally do because I haven't had internet. I haven't had access to the internet to do the homework or to do the broadcasts I'd really like to be doing. So instead of sitting there twiddling my thumbs when I'm not meditating or when I'm not doing my bit around the house or spending time with my partner, yeah, I turn on the electronic Bolshevik. All right? And this is how I have learned of this so-called femicide. Oy vey. And I'm telling you, folks, they are going all freaking out. You cannot go anywhere, I'm telling you, without hearing these poor Negresses and Jewesses screaming at the top of their lungs at just how bad these poor ladies have it in this country. You'll never see a white woman, a Boer, or an Aryan woman complaining on the electronic Bolshevik or on terrestrial radio that Jews control. Nope. You will only see the faces of Negresses and Jewesses. And it's very telling. So, in other words, they're downplaying the genocide of Boer and Aryans in South Africa. And they're upplaying a femicide with Negresses and Jewesses as the spokes faces and the voices. It's disgusting. It makes me sick to my stomach. And who's being blamed for this femicide? Oh, it's apartheid's fault, right? Well, folks, yeah, it's always apartheid. But no, they're not specifically labeling the perpetrators by race. But isn't it obvious when you have Negresses, mostly Negresses, with the occasional Jewess, you know, the liberal Jewess, posing as a white woman, you know, letting her voice be heard? Yeah, so, in other words, if it's Negresses complaining of a femicide, well, don't you think it would be the Negroids who are beating, raping, torturing, and murdering their own females? Yeah, it makes sense to me, but they'll never say, hey, black man, stop beating your woman. torturing your woman. No, they just blame it on males in general, okay? It's the apartheid males, right? The white men, the few of us who are left here that are causing this femicide. Right, Jews? No, folks, it's not white men. It's not white women complaining of white men raping and torturing them. It is, however, white women being raped and tortured by black men. Yeah, go to the inner city. It doesn't just happen here in South Africa. It happens everywhere there are black males. They love to get them some white, well, I'm not going to say the P word, but you know what I mean? Some white. And it's disgusting that we allow these negroids to even come near our women. So I just thought I should tell you all, folks, that yes, that's the topic really of the past year, is this femicide. Stop female genocide. Stop the violence. Kind of reminds me of the old 90s black-on-black crime. Stop the violence. Well, it's the same thing. It's like I'm reliving 1990 all over again. And so, yeah, boy, poor, precious Rama Bulana. They found, I believe they found her murderer. A suspect has been arrested for the murder of 21-year-old student Precious Rama Bulana from Limpopo. Yeah. Today, it is going a bit better because the police managed to arrest someone. Rama Bulana's aunt, Mavis Sitho, I can't even say her nigger's name, told Times Live. Yeah, she was the family, or she said the family was told by police that the arrest about 7:30 a.m. on Thursday. And we are on our way to her memorial service at the college, she said. National Police Commissioner General Kayla Sitole is expected to address the media at Karubu Lodge outside Tizanin at 10 a.m. All right, the police caught them a suspect. Who is this suspect? As I browse down the article here, police confirm on Monday that Rama Bulana had been stabbed, but did not specify the number of wounds she suffered. Well, I think I can update this. I think she was wounded 52 times, if I remember correctly. The death of Ms. Rama Bulana reminds us of the threats women in South Africa face on a daily basis. Oy vey. The cruelty and the frequency of these murders should spur the country into action that recognizes that we have indeed reached a state of emergency on issues around gender-based violence, femicide, and intimate partner violence, said the commission. Yeah, folks, this is the mentality of South Africa. We need to stop gender-based violence, Gilliam. We need to stop the femicide of the negresses. And we need to stop intimate partner violence. Oy vey. Not the white Boers, not the Aryan genocide that's been happening over the past 100 years. No. Hell, you have guys like, what's his name, over at Afroforum, who says that there is no white genocide. Yeah, what was that idiot's name? I gotta look this up. Hold on. What was his name? Oh, why is it always split me? I even did a show on him. Afriform, you know, that controlled opposition group that a lot of our folk down here are fooled by. Oh, I can't think of his name. Not Simon Roche, the Jew from the other controlled opposition group. Oh, anyway, it'll come to me. His name's not important. But for me, folks, it's just extremely frustrating. It's extremely frustrating that all we hear about is a femicide. And all we focus on are these, you know, it's just Negroid violence. This is what Negroids do. Deputy Minister of Social Development, Henrietta Ipeleng Bogopane Zulu, says violence against women in South Africa has reached a genocidal stage. Speaking at an event hosted by Joko T and people opposing women abuse in Johannesburg, in Jozi, on Tuesday, which aimed to provide safe spaces for survivors of domestic abuse. Domestic abuse. To speak out and, quote, end their silence, unquote, Bogopane Zulu called for an end to the scourge. Quote, when we say an epidemic, we've reached a stage where we are seeing it's genocide. No, not the white genocide, but the female Negress genocide. It's no longer something that we can give reasons for, and every day we try different things, she said. You know, this reminds me of an article I wrote about 3 years ago, folks. And it's actually been very popular the past 3 or 4 months, because I republished it on my website. And the title of the article I wrote is called, I can't remember the exact name, but it's like South African Jewish says, I can't think of the name. Basically, it's about Jillian Shuttle, some South African Jewish who's married to a Negroid. She said that whites are racist until whiteness is defunct or something. Yeah, so until white people are dead, there's going to be racism, in other words. And she said that where was I going with this? I brought up my article. boy, this is what happens when you try to multitask, folks, while you're doing live radio. I don't know. My point slips my mind. But anyway, back to this genocide. They're relying on the government, really, in the media, to spread this information far and wide. And they even have been writing into the, you know, the Negroid soap operas and making examples of, you know, black males for committing, you know, this gender-based violence. And it still is bothering me, folks, why I cannot think of what I was trying to say about my article. I was so worried about the title of it that I forgot the point I was going to make. I mean, what could it possibly have been? Jeez. The article is about, oh, that's right. All right. Judge Mabel Jansen, or I think that was her name, all right? She was having a conversation with Jillian Shuttle, all right? The woman I wrote the article about, okay? And basically what this white judge was having a conversation with Jillian Shuttle, and she was explaining her personal experience about how black males would proposition her and ask her to go to hotels so that they could have, sex. And if she refused, then she would be considered racist. And then she went on to explain to the Jewess, Jillian Shuttle, that, case after case that she presides over are of these male negroids whom are having sex with, it's not even sex, because these are minors. These are, anywhere between I would say infant to teenager. These negroids are raping these females, these negress females. And so, you see, it's racist. It's racist for Judge Mabel Jensen to, share facts, to share her knowledge, her firsthand knowledge being a judge, of how these negroids, it's just their nature to have sex with, to rape, to torture black females. But you see, she can't say that because she's white. But yet you have this whole program going on saying stop the femicide, stop gender-based violence, implying that they are implying, since they're putting negress faces as these poster women and these voices of these negresses on the radio, well, it implies that it's black males doing it to them. It's surely not the Boer. It's surely not the Aryan. But how come it's okay for them to make it a national crisis and for them to call each other out? But you have a white judge speaking truthful experiences and then being labeled a racist by some Jewess. See, this is what we have to deal with. And it angers me, folks. It angers me so much. It angers me to the point that, I guess you guys want a report coming from South Africa? Well, this is what's happening. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm not seeing it with my own eyes because, I don't hang around negresses and negroids, all right? But according to them, it's happening. And it's like a Shoah. Don't worry about the farm murders. Don't worry about the Boers and the Aryan women who are stuck in these inner cities being raped and tortured and robbed and mugged. And don't worry about that. We need to worry about the negress femicide, all right? Yeah, I don't know how much longer I can talk about this. It's really angering me. Only a half hour in, and I'm already fed up. I have this book here, folks, that is sitting on our coffee table. And I can't read you the title because it's in Afrikaans. And I'm not going to read the book to you, but I thought I would browse at least through a paragraph or two, because it's part of it is in English, and basically it's about nurses who were volunteering during the Anglo-Boer War, volunteering in the concentration camps of these Boer women and children who were, kidnapped out of their homes while the men were off fighting and, basically slowly tortured and killed. And reading the accounts of these nurses and some of the stories of these Boer ladies, these Boer women and children, when you compare the two, when you compare what's happening today to what happened 100 years ago, there's no comparison. These women and children were living in tents. They were sick, had all kinds of illnesses and diseases with very little medical care. Today, the Jew-controlled and Black-controlled ANC government, they have state-run healthcare. So basically, anyone can get healthcare if they need it, even though it is extremely slow in the state-run, sector. But, reading some of these stories from 100-plus years ago, a thought hit me, and it made me even sicker to my stomach. I'm reading the diaries of these volunteer nurses, a lot of them Boers, and then there were also a lot of paid British women who were nurses and doctors. And yes, folks, reading the names of these doctors, like Dr. Green, Oive, and, other doctors listed in this book, of course they're Jews, right? But it almost, I mean, not almost, it occurred to me, folks, that the little bit of aid, if that's the right word, a little bit of treatment they were getting in these Boer concentration camps, to me, it seems as if it only prolonged the suffering of the Boer women and children. And you see, they come across as being so humanitarian that they're in concentration camps, but at least they're being seen by nurses and doctors every day, right? Wrong. To me, it almost seems like torture that these Jew doctors and these volunteer nurses would give them just enough, crappy medicine to prolong their torture, because it wasn't healing them, it wasn't helping them get better, it was in essence prolonging their torture under the guise of being humanitarian. And it made me even sicker to my stomach. Yeah, I know it doesn't sound nice, thinking this, But, I mean, let's be honest here. Would you rather, if you were sick, really sick, and you have all your children dying one at a time, and receiving the little bit of treatment to just prolong their lives a little bit, really not curing them, wouldn't you rather really just let them die? Look, I know they're Boers. I know they're Aryans. I don't want our people to die, but they're going to die anyway. So why give them this humanitarian treatment that basically is just prolonging their suffering? This is the realization I came to reading these journals. Oh, DeHewitt, you just want them dead. You're anti-white. Yeah, I know, folks. I'm anti-white. Hopefully, though, you can understand what it is I'm saying here. I mean, that's so Jewy. Under the guise of humanitarianism, in essence, their suffering is just being prolonged. It doesn't get any Jewier than that, folks. I am taking phone calls today. However, I am not on the Uber conference, so I cannot hear, I don't think, if there are any phone calls. So, Richard, if you are listening, please let me know if there are any phone calls. I will be happy to take them, and I will be happy to answer some questions. I hope people call in and ask questions today.
Certainly. No problem, William. I'll let you know as they enter the room if anyone jumps on.
Okay. Will I be able to hear it, not being on the Uber conference myself, since I'm just calling in? Or
yes. You should still hear that classic.
Oh, I will be able to hear.
You should hear that chime sound still.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if I'd be able to hear it or not. All right. Yeah, I feel awful. I used to get calls and back when I first started, and then I took so many weeks off for one reason or another, and now I would really enjoy some calls now that I finally got a good connection, and yeah, it would be great. All right, well, where can I go with this? I pulled up a lot of articles, but to be honest, folks, I don't want to go through this. I mean, I'd rather go off the cuff. Richard, if you don't mind, I'm going to take the break now, and then I'm going to regroup here and come back with some with a fresh topic, all right?
Okay, sure. Sounds good.
All right. Be back on the flip side, folks.
Thank you.
right, welcome back, folks. Thank you for being patient and waiting for the break to end, all right? All right, I gave it some thought, and I tried thinking of some other topics that I want to talk about, all right? I was hoping that I would be able to at least go an hour and talk about the femicide and all this. But, you know, to me, as long as no one else is calling in, I'm just going to keep the topics flowing. Hopefully, if you do call in, we can go back and touch on it again. But before I do move on, I did forget to mention, you know, Saturday, I was watching cricket on SABC3, okay? Cricket, it's a pretty interesting game, folks. It's similar to baseball, I guess you could say. I love baseball. I played baseball for 13 years, amongst other sports. And, wow, I really wish I had had the opportunity growing up to play cricket. I think I could have been pretty damn good at it. Especially since I was, a left-handed knuckleballer. Yeah, I pitched. I was a left-handed knuckleballer. And it was the older I got, the you know, obviously, I was able to, you know, get better as the years went on. But unfortunately, I didn't have... especially in high school, it was very political, and everyone knows in baseball, you know, usually it's like a father-son thing, or if your dad's the coach's son is always going to get the playing time over, you know, a lot of the times the more talented individual. And so my left-handed knuckleball was not developed as much as it probably could have been. My point, though, is, folks... when I pitched, you could see the strings on the ball. It had zero spin, and it dropped by the time it got to the plate. And so when someone did get a hold of it, it usually popped up straight in the air or was a very slow grounder. And, well, that's what you need to do in cricket. You get wickets by, you know, when the batter pops it up and the fielders catch it, and they don't use gloves. And also when the pitcher, there's a wicket behind the batter, and that would also get them out, okay? It's like three posts, and there's something on top, and when the thing on top falls off, that's considered a wicket or an out, right? Well, I think I could have been pretty good, but that's not what I am going to be talking about here. During one of the breaks of this cricket match between the Parle Rocks and the Jersey Stars, they had some Jewess on with her Facebook, promoting her Facebook group called My Body Will Not Be Your Next Crime Scene, or something to that effect. And again, it has to do with this femicide, this gender-based violence. We need to stop the violence, right? We don't need to stop the Boer and Aryan genocide. We need to stop the niggerous violence, okay? So, yes, my body will not be your next crime scene. And, again, folks, it's just more ridiculousness, even in the title itself. My body will not be your next crime scene. Well, I don't understand the title. Are these people just retarded? Because if a male negroid is raping and torturing a female negress, how is her body his next crime scene? Wouldn't the crime scene belong to the police? So, I don't know. Either they're just dumb and don't know how to use the English language correctly, but in a way, they are, obviously, I really think I get more credit than I do. In particular article I've written, there's been a few catchphrases that I've used. I know the phrase enough, is very common, but in one particular article, I said, you know, stop, you know, call the Boers, rise and defend yourselves. And basically, I was talking about how Boers are being genocided and how I'm the only one, and I was at the time, screaming from the mountaintops, and I said, enough is enough. I wrote in the article, right? Well, then a year later, Black Monday came, where you had all these so-called Afrikaners and Afroform, again, using the term enough is enough. And they were on their knees as if they were pleading, please don't genocide us anymore, right? And I also used the phrase, we need to stand up for ourselves. And don't be the next victim whom is genocided by a pack of Negroids. Well, this same Jewess with the group My Body Will Not Be Your Next Crime Scene, she also used the phrase, where did I write it down here? I am not next. So My Body Is Not Your Crime Scene. And I am not next. Basically, replying to my question, or not question, but statement that, you know, you need to learn how to protect yourselves unless, you know, you want to be the next victim who's genocided by a pack of Negroids. I don't have the article in front of me, but I'm telling you, it's like they're speaking to me, folks. I can tell that they've read my article, and, it's typical Jewish behavior. You know, they take the ideas and they invert it. I'm speaking of a Boer and Aryan genocide, and then you have these Jewesses working with Negresses, well, promoting the end of a femicide. So, you know, folks, this just leads me to that old question that I always bring up. When, oh, when will we separate? Why aren't we separate? And, you know, I ask these questions over and over again, and nobody has any answers. When really it's obvious that we are not allowed to separate. We're not allowed. The Jews who control the financial system, the Jews who control the various governments from around the world, the Jews who control the media, the Jews who control everything in this world will not allow us to separate. There's no other explanation. Because if we were allowed to separate, we would do it. And Orania, folks, is not a viable means for separation. Orania is an Afrikaner settlement. Orania, folks, is not a Boer settlement. It is basically of people who were of the Cape Colony. And the Boer republics have never been a part of the Cape Colony. So Orania, folks, i.e. New Jerusalem, yeah, they compare it to Jerusalem, is not a place for Boers or Aryans in South Africa. William D. Hewitt has never been invited to move to Orania, let alone even visit Orania, okay? You would think they would want somebody like me, who has a little bit of a following, someone who has articulately stood up for white folk in South Africa, you would think that, well, I would be invited or something, right? But no real authentic Aryan or Boer folk in South Africa, to my knowledge, are ever really, you know, a part or invited to be a part of Orania, i.e. New Jerusalem. Or the Jerusalem of Africa. And so why, oh why, can we not separate? Because I tell you folks, I would be the first. I'd be the first. And then you have these controlled opposition groups, like I said, such as Afroform and Solidarity and Simon Roche's group, and just individuals on the internet always calling for self-determination. Self-determination! Self-determination! Folks, I am all for self-determination. But if you listen to the type of self-determination these controlled opposition groups, these front groups, no, they're not front groups because they're out in the front leading the way. No, they're front groups because they pose as being for the Boer, for the Aryan, while behind the scenes, they're giving money and helping Negroids in court and doing everything they can to help the enemy and not our own people. But they're Front National, and they want their self-determination for white people. Rubbish. The type of self-determination groups like Solidarity and Afroform and Suitmonders and, you know, all the other controlled opposition groups, folks, they want to work with, and this is actually a quote, they want to work within the United Nations laws and statutes. And when I call them out on this, oh Lord, they erase my comments and block me from their groups and from their profiles quicker than I can say, oi frickin' they. Folks, if you want self-determination as an Aryan race or as an ethnicity within the Aryan race, following the United Nations laws and statutes, well, that's not going to make you free. You cannot use the enemy's system if you want to be free. You cannot use the enemy's currency, i.e. shekels, if you want to be free. You cannot get hired into their corporations to earn a living if you want to be free. You get my drift. So it's very easy for me to know when somebody is serious or not when they talk about self-determination in South Africa. You cannot use the enemy's shekels, which really, folks, enslaves you if you want to be free. You cannot set up a nation using the enemy's laws and statutes. I mean, this should be a no-brainer, right? But no, 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 folks. Evidently, it is not. Because I hear time and again people who I thought, who I really thought should know better. You know, I'm pretty, for the most part, picky on who I associate myself with on social media. Well, because I do a radio show and write articles, I get a lot of people who want to be my friend. And to be honest with you, I don't have the time to be as picky as I would like. But anyone who I would think anyone who reaches out to me would know better that we can't use the UN's laws and statutes. We can't use the Jews' money. We can't be hired in their Jewy corporations. We cannot use the Jewish system to be free. And to be frankly, it's quite frustrating. Am I not making any progress at all? Have I not taught you anything? Yeah, I know I'm not on the air and I'm not writing as much as I used to. But come on, folks. Man, I guess I really need to step it up. And like I said last week, I plan on it. As far as I know, I think I have just received my first paycheck. My friend, who is the CEO of a security company in here in South Africa, many of you know him. It was my guest, Eugene. He made me his right-hand man, and I think he actually paid me today. And so if I have money in my account tomorrow or the next day, well, I'm hoping that I am going to be able to set a studio in an apartment. And that should give me more free time, and I plan on doing more shows and writing articles again. And so hopefully I won't hear this idiocy coming from people who I think should know better talking about self-determination using the United Nations laws and statutes and everything else I said about the money and the companies. And man, I guess I really need to get back into this if I want to see any success I've had in the past. People, I guess, forget very quickly. And so, folks, hopefully you will be hearing a lot more of me. Because I tell you what, I have some topics that I've been saving and I've been really wanting to get into. And yeah, a lot of them are esoteric. A lot of them will be continuing on with what I started last week. You know, I've been very interested in the gods, so to speak, and the, you know, the creation of man. And I have a lot of questions and I've been seeking the answers, and these answers never come to you when you just read, you know, a book. You need to read, as many of you know, a lot. You need to listen a lot, you know, lots of radio, lots of articles, lots of books. But most importantly, folks, you need to have a clear mind and limit what you consume through your ears and your eyes. Because when you are able to limit that, well, that is how you start to attempt to have a clear and quiet mind. That, folks, is when you have a clear and quiet mind. That is when you get the answers that you really want. At least for me, that's how it works. If my mind is clear and I don't have a bunch of junk running through it, keeping me up at night, making me anxious. Yeah, The answer has really come to you. Call it your intuition. Call it hearing the voice of your inner self. Call it what you want. Maybe God itself is telling you the answers. But you have to have a quiet mind, I've learned. Point being, a lot of answers to the questions I've had for years and years and years are being answered. And slowly, the puzzle starts to form. And so I'm very interested in how the Aryan race grew and became so great. And I'm very interested in how, where, what we are, where we came from. Are we the descendants of the gods? Or are we their creation? I'm pretty sure that we are the descendants, at least those of us with Rh negative blood. I am pretty sure. The answer came intuitively to me about a year and a half ago, that us Rh negative Aryans, we are in fact descendants of the gods. And even the Rh positive, I believe, are descendants of the gods. They just have admixture or earthly admixture to them. Maybe from, I don't know, other, you know, I don't know. There were, if you read the accounts of Enki, the geneticist, sometimes compared to Yahweh or, you know, whoever these gods are, it's pretty known that this geneticist created and mixed a lot of races together. So it's not just through race mixing. Some of us who have the monkey gene, well, maybe that was a particular creation. You know, the monkey gene, the Rh positive rather than the negative. It doesn't mean that you're not an Aryan. It just means that you have some admixture. But my point is, a lot of these questions interest me. And it gets pretty esoteric. I'll always have the Aryans, you know, the white race in mind in doing this research. And so in the future, I plan on telling you all about what I've learned. And it gets pretty far out there, folks. It really, really does get pretty far out there. Because, to be honest with you, it gets boring for me to just cover, I don't cover current events all that much, but, you know, talking about the same thing over and over again. Yes, I want the Aryan race to be separate, but how many ways can I say it? How many ways can I tell you that we cannot use the United Nations laws and statutes? We cannot use the Jews' shekels and banking system. We cannot accept jobs from Jew corporations if we want to be separate. How many ways can I say this? And so I often, not often, but I sometimes will go on to other esoteric topics. I want to get it across everybody's head. You know, it has to stick that we are indeed slaves. And that we, in order to be free, obviously need to free ourselves. Now, most of us are comfortable just enough that you don't even consider yourself a slave. As long as the Negroid ball game is on TV, on the electronic Bolshevik, as long as you have genetically modified food, food in your belly, as long as you have a wage slave job where you're able to earn a living being a slave, most of our folk don't care if they are live separate, you know, live as separatists or not. They accept, okay, it's just, you know, the way it is that we have blacks invading and destroying our neighborhood. It's all right, that's just the way it is, right? Wrong. It's not okay. And I, for one, want to make you as uncomfortable as possible. I am not comfortable being a slave. Well, do you? You just took a job working for a security company. Well, I have no other choice. You know, this is the situation we're in, folks. But I'm going to be working as little as possible so that I could at least, you know, put a roof over my head, buy some internet, buy some better food since I can't grow it anymore. Yeah, when I was living high up in the mountains somewhere in the Karoo, I had only just begun on the garden that I created. Oh, the plans I had. Anything that wasn't edible or medicinal was getting taken down, and all that was going to be growing in the garden, well, it was medicinal and edible. But unfortunately, my wife passed away of ovarian cancer, and that never got to happen. Now, you know, where I live now, we do not have the land. The land. Who wants the land? A whole another topic I could get into. Yeah, the land. The blacks, they want the land. You see? No, folks, they don't care about the land because they know they can do fuck all with it. They want the land because they want us dead. They cannot stand to see the Aryan prosper or to at least even be a little bit happy, you know, growing our beautiful gardens, growing our own food. They can't stand it. Some of these books that I've been reading lately, just to give you a little teaser here, I found, this website I think is fairly common, but this website I found called Bibliotech Pleiades. So I guess it's like a Pleiadian website, you know. I think there's supposedly like a lot of channeling, you know, that goes on, and it's put in writing here. But also there is a whole lot of other type of information that's not channeled from this bibliotechapleiades.net website. I mean, I've always known about this website, but I didn't until recently know just how much information was in this website. And to be honest with you, this is where I've been reading a lot. And so in the future, I'm really, really excited to share a lot of this information that I've been getting and putting together like a puzzle. You know, I have all this information in my head already that I don't do much with. And I love it when I find more information that I'm able to connect the dots, you know, and put the puzzle together even more. And this website has really helped me. So, yeah, there's a whole lot, a wealth of information. The areas specifically I've been looking into, as you know, are, you know, like energy, the so-called, like, Anunnaki races, you know, which I think is just another term for Aryan. But I don't know, a lot of people think that the Anunnaki are reptilians. I don't know. I'm pretty convinced there are reptilian races out there. called the Gina Abul. And yeah, it's pretty convincing evidence out there that they actually exist. We just can't see them because of what I was talking about last week, frequency. When you change the frequency, well, other life forms survive within these frequencies. I don't know, I'm not going to talk about this now. I'm just, you know, explaining. So, yeah, a lot of the Anunnaki and the Aryan, the frequencies, even Yahweh. Man, I'm really trying. Charles Giuliani has not done enough. I think I've actually found even more information about Yahweh. Because unfortunately, here in South Africa, there's a whole group of awakened, if you will, Boers and Aryans that really truly believe that Yahweh is their father and that Father Yahweh is going to save them. I know. Quite comical. How is that not Christ insanity? You know, to me, it's just Christianity. Instead of Jesus saving them, well, it's going to be Father Yahweh saving them. So, yeah, a lot of information about Yahweh being compared to the Demiurge, which I find fascinating. Father Yahweh being, you know, Jehovah and many different other names, Yaldabaoth, Enki, even sometimes Enlil, you know, it's amazing. And I am about positive that Yahweh, folks, is, you know, the God of this realm, this earth, but he's also who we would call the devil. So yes, that duality. Yahweh is God and the devil. I think Charles has made that point clear, and I am sure I agree with him. Another area, folks, I've been looking into is the Tree of Life. There's so many different allegories for that Tree of Life. I think you'll be very you'll be very surprised on the take, because I really do intend to get more into the silicon trees. You know, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was this documentary out there about silicon trees. And being in South Africa, folks, it's very, very clear and easy for me to see this theory that this Russian man had or has about the ancient silicon trees. Now, I've traveled through a lot of this country. You know, I started off in the Western Cape, lived there for a year, and then I went on to the Eastern Cape and lived in the Karoo, then off to the shore in Port Elizabeth for a few months before I came up here to the Free State. And all the traveling I've done in this country has been by automobile and by train. And so I've had very, very intimate experiences with the sites, you know. Traveling from the Western Cape to the Eastern Cape by car, I was able to get a very good look at the mountains. And, well, this is before I even, you know, saw that documentary about the silicon trees. But, you know, I think I will actually, while I'm on the topic, explain to you what I saw with my own two eyes living in the Karoo. The Karoo, folks, there's a lot of mining that has gone on here for God only knows how long, right? And so there's a lot of mountains and just, you can tell that mining goes on here. And according to the documentary, these gigantic silicon trees, when they were either cut down or blown up, they became petrified. They turned to stone, right? And this is where precious stones come from, okay? So imagine these gigantic trees that are so high that you cannot even imagine how high they reach the heavens. Imagine them falling down, and imagine when the oxygen hits the silicon, these precious stones that form. And then imagine the root system underground becoming petrified. This is why they mine for diamonds and gold and the other minerals, right? And so while you're mining, you're going to have a lot of big dirt piles. And these dirt piles, well, they're also called mountains. You see, there's two different types of mountains. There's these rocky mountains, and then there's these gigantic dirt piles with lots of shrubs and greenery growing on them. And so it makes sense to me, folks, that this is why they mine. And it's proven in America. If you look at Devil's Tower, the petrified forest is right there in front of Devil's Tower. And basically what they've done was they put a small little branch that came from that tree stump, because that's what it is. If you look at it, it's a tree stump, not a mountain. It's like they're mocking you, telling you that it's a mountain, but yet there is a petrified forest right in front of this mountain that does not even belong there, because there's no other mountains anywhere near it. According to their own definition of mountains, the earth's crust moving and blah, blah, blah. No, folks, that's not how mountains are formed. Mountains are either, I'm positive, either chopped down trees or they are gigantic dirt piles. And so me traveling through South Africa, it's very easy for me to see the difference between these two types of mountains. And it only makes sense that they mine because, like I said, the silica turns into precious stones. And the root system, well, maybe this is where oil and gold and all the other minerals and precious stones come from. And so they do the mining. And what you see is actually just mining waste. Like the Grand Canyon, for example. They call it like a wonder of the world, but really it's mining waste. It's a slap in our face. They're mocking us. So, yeah, I don't really care, folks, if you don't find this to be interesting. I know it's a really big, you know, different subject from what I started off with, the nigrous femicide. But, you know, this is what I find interesting. And I was struggling for a topic. So if you don't like it, I'm sorry. But, you know, this is what I'm going to talk about for the rest of the show. Me traveling through South Africa, I'm able to see clearly with my own two eyes, using my own senses, that is what mountains are. That's what Table Mountain is. And I'm even convinced that, you know, the great flood that's talked about in the Bible, I'm convinced that the great flood, or even where our oceans come from, or big lakes come from, or even small lakes. I think they start to mine, they dig a little too deep, and voila, they strike water. I mean, it makes sense, because here in South Africa, a lot of the properties, a lot of the boers who own these farms and properties, they will dig for water. They're called boer holes. And they get drinking water from these underground sources of water. And Even myself, when I lived and grew up in Pennsylvania, and when I lived in Tennessee for a short period of time, in the Smoky Mountains, there were these old mining sites that were abandoned because they struck water and these mining sites flooded. So when you look in Ireland at the Giant's Causeway, where they have these hexagonal-shaped cliffs, you can see the cliffs overlooking the sea. They're hexagonal, which is silica-based. It makes sense to me that, well, they must have been mining after these silicon-based life forms, trees, were chopped down, and maybe this is where some of the oceans or water came from. I'm speculating, but to me, it makes sense. If you look at some of the old Tree of Life maps, you know, underneath the earth is called the Great Deep. And the Great Deep is an ocean. This really blew my mind. Doing some research for this, I was came across something in the Gulf of Mexico. And there is a video of a body of water, a body of water within a body of water, as if, you know, you're in the Gulf of Mexico, you're on the sea floor, right? The Gulf floor, and there is like this bubble, like this clear, it almost looks like glass, if you will, which could just be a silicon, some form of silicon that is see-through, and you can see clearly another body of water within that bubble. So it's like a firmament divided by the waters, or dividing two different waters. I'm not kidding, folks. You can see this on YouTube. I mean, if this isn't, what is this? How do you have a body of water within a body of water? And don't they say even that the atmosphere is an ocean? And that there is even a firmament dividing our atmosphere and so-called outer space? Hell, maybe you changed the frequency in the atmosphere that we breathe to some other frequency or realm. Maybe that is water to them. I don't, you know, that's a stretch, I know, but think about it. It's the sea. It is, the air is water. It is in a different form of water. Yeah, folks, this is the type of stuff I like to think about when I'm not thinking about my Aryan race being genocided. I have so many questions. I have so many things I've seen that I just go unanswered. And damn it, I want the answers. And what better than talking about it, you know? Again, if this doesn't interest you, it's okay. Go listen to the Hush Matzah Ball or something. I think he's on the air right now. Go learn or hear about what Jew politician is doing, screw over the few Aryans left in the United States. If that interests you more, then go listen to that. But yeah, if there's anybody out there listening, please feel free to call in. Go ahead and either contribute which would be great, or even call up and mock me and challenge me, if you will. I love open debate. And again, if you think this is irrelevant and has, you know, nothing to do with the Aryan race's situation in this world, well, I truly have to disagree with you. You see, especially with our own people, folks, once our people learn that they've been lied to about one thing, whether it be the shape of the earth or what mountains are or anything else, once our people learn we have a tendency, or once our people learn that we've been lied to, we have a tendency to have this great awakening. And then we start to challenge everything. So to me, folks, arguing whether the earth is flat or if mountains are old silicon trees, to me, it's all very relevant. Because if one of these topics interests our folk who maybe don't put their focus or emphasis on race or the genocide of our race, maybe coming across the truth on one of these esoteric type topics might spark their interest in the future and decide that, well, yes, indeed, they have been lied to, that we are being genocided and that we are not. You know, we didn't come out of Africa, and you know, there's so many angles, there's so many different topics that the Jews have lied to us about. All it takes is one, usually, for our folk to realize they've been lied to, and then, holy shit, watch out. Because I'm living proof. I didn't start off on my journey in the esoteric world that I'm so interested in now. I started off as a conservative or a conservatribe. Yep, I listened to Hush Matzaball. I listened to Michael Kosher Wiener Savage. I listened to Glenn Schmeckel. I listened to all these conservatives. And folks, I listened and I listened and I listened. And I tell you what, I can honestly say that I learned fuck all. Nothing stuck. Nothing made sense. I never learned that it was, I never understood why politicians never did what they say they were, you know, going to do. Why? The conservatives control the House, the Senate, and the White House, and the Supreme Court, and nothing ever gets done that should get done. Why? Well, thankfully, I came across Mike Sledge and learned that it was Jews who were behind our politicians in our government. And I learned that it was Jews who were indeed enslaving us. Because as a conservatribe, you will not learn that it's Jews who are your slave masters and that it's Jews who are in control of the left and the right. And that the liberal and conservative, the Democrat and Republican sides are just two wings of the same Jew bird of prey. They're just two sides of the same Jewish shekel. So my point is, folks, that any subject that could awaken our folk, to get them to realize that they've been lied to about something, and, you know, something big, that will, in my estimation, ultimately lead them to having a racial awakening. Again, I'm living proof. So I'm not one who thinks talking about esoteric topics or other topics that, you know, have nothing to do supposedly with our racial struggle. I'm not one. I don't buy it. Any subject could lead to an Aryan awakening. And boy, oh boy, there are some pretty big lies out there now, aren't there, folks? I think that's a good question. What was it that led you to your racial awakening? Was it learning about Hitler? Or was it a big lie that has nothing to do with race that led you here? I mean, there's so many people out there that talk about Hitler and Germany and the war. And, you know, I don't need to recover or rehash all this. Yeah, I learned about that 15 years ago. It helped me get to where I am today. But that doesn't mean that I need to be like everybody else and talk about it on my show. I refuse to be pigeonholed. I refuse to be, you know, told that I must only talk about one thing. You know, I have a curious mind. And so I do not feel that I am discrediting myself when I talk about out there type subjects. Trying to think here. What else can I indulge in here? What else can I share with you, folks? You know, I really feel guilty. In the past, I've really focused each individual show on one topic, you know, and I've had cues where I used to set up my breaks, for instance. And these my breaks, or even the music I used, which was copywritten most of the time, it's always led me on to the next topic. And so it's very difficult for me to just talk off the top of my head here. I have to get used to this. I wish I could somewhat go back to my old format, because I felt a lot more comfortable even with taking a half-hour break. But I don't know. We'll have to maybe, Richard, if you're listening, maybe somehow we can work on that. Because even if I have to do it myself and send you a program, I really feel that I could do a much better show. It's very difficult for me to just sit here and sometimes talk. I thought I was prepared enough to talk for 2 hours, but evidently I'm not. And so, I really, now that I have a good internet, I feel like I'm letting my listeners down by not having more to talk about. So, I don't know. I'd rather, I think, end it than continue to just babble. So, I guess if there aren't any callers out there, I think I will just cut it a little short. You see here, I think it's 1 hour and almost 40 minutes. Yeah, you know, folks, if there's no questions or callers, I really think I'm just going to end the show today. And next week, I will, unless I get a guest, I've had a guest in mind. I've not spoken to this man since 2015. I guess I can give you a heads up here, folks, if you're interested. I don't necessarily agree with everything that this man says these days, but he is a man that I learned a great deal from back in, I don't know, like 2009, 2010, 11, even 2012. And this man is Dennis Fetcho. Dennis taught me an awful lot about Hermetic Kabbalah and Gematria, and I love those subjects. And maybe 9 months ago, I invited him to do a show with me, I think even before I was on Revision Media, and I was using my William DeHewitt Facebook profile, and, well, of course, I broke community standards and therefore never really went back to that profile. And I recently went there to thank everyone for wishing me a happy birthday on my various profiles. And I noticed that my good old friend Dennis Fetcho sent me a reply to my message when I invited him on to the Hewitt House Radio. And so, he said he was very interested and he was meaning to get back to me. And so I'm really going to try to reach out to Dennis. I think most of my listeners should know who Dennis Fetcho is. And hopefully I can get him on Revision Media. Now, again, folks, I don't agree with everything Dennis Fetcho talks about these days. He was one of the men that got me really, really interested in, with Jews, back in the good old Oracle broadcasting days, back when Sledge and Kyle and the Celtic Rebel, and Charles, and the old guys that I give credit for awakening me to our Jewish problem. Yeah, so I'm going to try to get a hold of Dennis and see if he would come on to Revision Media. As far as I know, he's never been on the network, so I'm not sure exactly what we'll talk about, but the man is a wealth of knowledge, and I think even, just the regular listeners to Revision Media, I think will find him to be a very, very interesting guest. So if you're not familiar with Dennis Fetcho, I hope I know his website by heart. He has two. Inside the Eye Live is his radio site, and his other site about, Hermetic Kabbalah and Gematria is called, it's escaping me now. Let me type it up. Gosh, I don't know what it is in my memory sometimes, folks. Things that I know, just don't come to me. Revolution Radio. He's on Revolution Radio, yes, but his website is, it's on the tip of my tongue. Where is it here? Inside the Eye Live, and then the other one, where is it? That's weird. That's really weird. Where the heck is his other website? Well, let me click on Inside the Eye Live. I think there's a link to his other website from here. Maybe I'll just, if he will, I was on Dennis's show, Inside the Eye Live, back in 2015. And I was actually living, here in South Africa, and that show really, really put me on the map, if you will, because I was interviewed on the same show that Karen Smith, that vile Afrikaner, was on. And I disagreed with her with just about everything that she said, because she regurgitates the same old, top African history book that the Jews give us. She regurgitated that history. And I basically called her out on it. And yeah, they spent a good amount of months on various other platforms mocking me because I, you know, saw things and see things the way I did, which were not popular back then. Yeah, I was the one that said that Afrikaner is a code word for Jew. I was the one that started talking about Jews in general in South Africa because really nobody else was when I got here. And so I had quite the conflict, and people who should have known better, that old network that many of the hosts who were on, well, not many, but the founder of this network was on, even they were fooled by Karen Smith, the Afrikaner from Texas. All right, folks, I'm looking at Dennis Peck's site here, and I still cannot find his other website. That is amazing to me. Maybe it got taken down. I don't know. That's weird. Wait, it's coming to me. Oh, come on now. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Son of a gun. Something, the Illuminatus Observer. That is it. Illuminatus Observer, I believe. I'm typing it in here, folks, to see. I really want, yeah, it is the Illuminatus Observer. Blogspot.com. Folks, if you are not familiar with this site, you really ought to study it because, oh, wow, it looks like he's even updated it. April 6, 2019. I've not been to the site in quite some time. Yeah, there's a whole, it goes back to 2007, and I'm telling you folks, if you're interested in like Hermetic Kabbalah and English Gematria, this is really, I don't really know of any better site than this. There's a wealth of knowledge here, so you really should look into it. It's the Illuminatusobserver.blogspot.com. All right. So I will get a hold of Dennis and hopefully have him on the network. All right, folks. So thank you very much for listening. And I will be back next week. And hopefully I will have a show where I'm not struggling like I did today. I really would like to get back to doing shows that are on topic, on point. Since I'm not getting callers, I think those would probably be the best format of show for me until I start getting callers. To have the full 2 hours planned out works best for me. And then I will see about Dennis. So, really, folks, thank you for listening. I hope you learned something. I hope I didn't bore you. And I will text you next week. So, cheers, everybody.